March 11th, 2024. This is Dave.
And Haley. It's so good to start week 5 of Lent with you. Today we are thrilled to have another incredible guest on the pod.
Guest on the pod.
Dave, can you give an intro for our guest?
Oh, for sure. Today's guest is one of our newest high school leaders. As of this year, he leads with his lovely wife. He is a runner and a writer and a tea-drinking connoisseur who spends a lot of time in coffee shops, of all places. He has a special place in my heart. I have the privilege of performing his wedding last spring. And then we got to be housemates for a couple of weeks.
Wait, did you live in his house?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that. You were also a basement dweller.
I got married.
Oh, wait, we didn't even say your name.
Two housemates on the pod. Oh, yeah, we got to get, oh my God. All
right. It's a mystery.
Hold on. Stick to the script, people. Without further ado, everyone, this is the one and only Luke Baker.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. What an honor. That was such a sweet intro. Yes, Sarah and I, we got married. Dave officiated our wedding.
Right.
We went on our honeymoon and then came back and lived in their basement for 2 weeks.
Oh, pre-camp.
Pre-camp before my wife Sarah works at Windshape Camp, so she works at an all-girls camp. So we lived in Dave's basement and then moved to girls' camp. And lived in a college dorm room. So our first few months of marriage was a blast.
So basement versus college dorm room preference?
We love the basement. We love the basement for the community of your family, for sure.
Yes.
So, yeah. And it was just nicer than the college dorm room, for sure.
All right.
Yeah. We'll take basement.
So good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Luke, it's so good to have you here. It's kind of our thing to ask a question to every guest, so we have one for you, related-ish to the text today. So, Luke, how good are you at gardening or growing things? Do you have proverbial green thumb, or are you a plant's worst nightmare, or something in between? Did I say that word right?
Yeah, you got it. Nailed
Everyone,
it.
I pronounce words wrongly and confidently often, so if you ever hear me say something that you're like, that sounds wrong, it probably is, and you can tell me kindly later.
If you start questioning yourself, if I've been wrong this whole time, that's just the force of Haley's personality. You just want to believe her.
Yeah, that's fair. But to Luke, how are you at growing plants?
I have very minimal experience. I will say about this time last year, Sarah and I went over to Katie Watford's place, which she's
shout
a fellow
out to Katie
here.
Watford
and
friend of the pod.
Yes, friend of the pod, and her husband Brian. We went to their place.
Also,
and we
friend
did
of the pod. Brian.
Brian loves the pod.
Excellent guitar player too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm so sorry, Luke.
You're continue. Good. And we did some gardening with them, and we planted a fig tree out of all things, and named
so
it,
biblical,
and named yeah. it Newton.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect.
For Fig Newton. And then we just got news recently. We had Brian and Katie over for dinner, and they told us the sad news that Amazon truck actually backed over Newton. So,
oh, no. And you know they don't care to replace it. Amazon's the big guy.
They don't. But Brian was really
Newton's
upset.
The little guy.
Yeah.
Although they could, and it wouldn't even feel it.
So to be determined. We'll see if Brian, you know, pursues Amazon to plant a new tree. But
oh, they should. Amazon, this is your opportunity if you're listening.
If anyone at Amazon is listening, please restore Fig Newton.
Oh, my gosh.
And then at our house, Sarah loves the plants. We have a good bit, and she takes care of them, has a watering day, and we have named them all after biblical characters. So like a long dangly one is Samson for the long hair.
Don't cut it.
And we're not gonna cut it. Yeah. So we have a lot of biblical character plants at our home that she's doing great with, but I don't touch them really.
Wait, what day is watering day?
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I love that you name yourself biblical characters. Mine are all celebrities. So I probably should be doing better. But
no, it's okay. I mean, we have two money plants, and it's Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira.
Oh,
wait,
wow.
What's a money plant?
Money plants.
Plant.
Yeah, they're cute. They have their little lily pads. Is what they look like. Yeah.
But they're called. That's
they're called
the
money
genus
plant.
Species something.
Yeah,
that's definitely not a scientific name, but most of them have like their own little like nicknames.
Yeah.
Like I have a Swiss cheese plant. You know, that's not in some scientific textbook.
Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, our Swiss cheese plant's name is David, because some biblical interpretations when he delivers lunch to his brothers facing Goliath says he's delivering cheese.
Bread and cheese. That's why in the Veggie Tales version he brings the stuffed crust pizza.
Oh, I don't remember that. That's amazing.
Wow.
We've gone sideways.
They took some
today,
creative
everybody.
Liberties. That's great.
I mean, just contextualize. It's like the vegetable message version.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Of
that's
Samuel.
So fun.
That's
awesome.
Great.
Well, I already betrayed the fact that I don't know what a money plant is, nor Swiss cheese plant.
I don't think I've seen a single plant in your house aside from Hannah's.
Yeah,
room.
She has snake plants because of
me.
Haley.
Yeah.
And our daughter, Harper, also got a tiny little succulent. I mean, the cutest thing, like the size of your pinky nail
yeah.
for Hannah, and she watered that thing every day for months and then gave it to her for Christmas. And it was so sweet. So
oh, you're not
I don't
supposed
have...
to water succulents. That's probably
well, she put it like a drop. Like oh, that's a drop okay. every now and again.
Okay.
But that's she good. Took care of that thing. It was so great. But yeah. Haley, you have plants all over your house.
This is true.
Have you grown anything from a seed ever?
I had to think, but the answer is no. I have propagated. So that's when you like wow. cut off parts of your plant uh-huh. and put it in water and it grows roots and then you can replant it.
Yeah.
Oh, a friend, cool. Jesse, friend of the pod, also youth leader, propagated and gave me part of a propagation once. But I've never like done a straight up seed. My friends did when I lived with them during COVID. They planted a bunch of potatoes and we had the hugest, most rockin' sweet potatoes in the neighborhood.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was sick. It was so, our whole friend group was like, we are farmers.
And how'd they taste? They
I don't remember that, but I'm sure they were great.
Wow.
I just remember, like, I remember Harvest Day, and it was so fun. But that was just a big COVID activity, because they had garden beds.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a dream of mine to have a garden bed. This might be the year.
Is it?
I mean, it's a dream of mine as well. I don't know about this year, but COVID did make the gardening business boom. I feel like I had a lot of friends that started their little COVID gardens.
Yeah.
For sure.
Bring them back. But
not COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't bring COVID back. I don't want to go through a global pandemic again. It's not on my 2024 bingo card.
No. Gardening, let's go with that.
Yeah, that can be on the bingo card.
This is so good. Luke, thank you so much for the response. We're so excited to hear your response to this text as well. And Haley, for today's text, we're continuing in Matthew as we follow Jesus on his journey to the cross. So can you just set us up for this reading from Matthew?
For sure. Yeah, this is Jesus having a moment with crowds and his disciples, using a metaphor that people would understand, as he was so good at doing. And this one happens to be about farming. See why we talked about plants. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right, I'll read from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, Dave, you were very excited about this passage. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing when it comes to farming and Lent? How can we, as people who don't farm, right. obviously, for our conversation, take away from this in our Lenten season?
Yeah, well, this is, if you grew up in the church, this is a really familiar parable. So, just a reminder, a parable is a story that Jesus told. So, as far as we know, there wasn't literally a farmer who experienced this, but Jesus told this story in a context that people would understand to get a spiritual reality across for those who had ears to hear. So I got ears. I'm working on listening here. There's so many different directions you could take with this parable to get some incredible kingdom truth out of it. But the thing I think about with Lent is that this farmer is sowing seeds. And the idea, the end result, the goal of the seed, it's designed to be fruitful. It's designed to be something that grows up and then multiplies and turns into more than just that little seed. And I think our lives sometimes follow the journey of the seed. Our lives are designed to be fruitful. And in fact, that's a lot of what this is about, right? It's the soil that you find yourself in results in being fruitful or not. Again, we could get onto the rocky soil and the thorns and all of that. There's a lot of great stuff to dig into, but...
Oh, dig into.
I didn't even mean it.
Sorry, Dave. Couldn't stop you there.
Don't apologize. That's so great.
Dad just alert.
Just the metaphor is just flowing. But if you think about a seed doesn't become fruitful without first radically changing and going through this process where it has to actually be buried in the ground.
Yeah.
And if you think, like, for a second, be like, hey, I'm a little seed. All right. What's the journey of a seed? A seed gets, someone digs a hole, puts it in the ground, covers it with dirt. So the seed is in a dark place. It doesn't see the outside world. And for a while, that seed is like, is anything even happening? Like, am I even changing right now? And it has to go through this dark, buried period before it's eventually fruitful. And to me, that just felt like the Lenten journey. of Jesus in the wilderness, fasting. He's famished. He's being tempted. Like, God, is anything happening here? And that turned into a really fruitful ministry later. So I think we have a lot to learn because we find ourselves in these dark, buried places often. And so, Luke, so excited to have you with us to just share some of your experience. What has been your experience? We talked about literally gardening, but can you identify at all what it's been like to have this journey of the seed in your life?
Yeah, when I knew we were reading this passage, I first of all thought of how I got into running, which is funny. As we record this, I came from a run and I am smelly and sweaty. I did not have time to shower.
I can't tell.
I also
2 feet
tell.
Away.
Good, because I smell myself, and I've heard that if you can smell yourself, other people can smell you worse. So I don't know how true that is.
That's a self-conscious feeling. Feel all the freedom here. You're fine.
Hey, that's some knowledge for everyone listening right on the pod, too. Just
but,
give yourself a little sniff.
Theodore is our friend. Luke, you're doing fine.
Thank you. But yeah, how I got into running, when I was in eighth grade, I had played baseball my whole life at that point, and I was obsessed with it. Like, that was my first love and what I loved the most. And I tried out for the JV team in eighth grade, and I didn't make it. I got cut, and it was like a dream shattered, of like a death of a dream.
And you're in middle school? Oh, wait.
Yeah, eighth grade. I was in eighth grade. Yeah. So, and again, that was my first love, and it was like the death of a dream, and I was crushed, and I was like so upset about it. Mm. However, in that, I uncovered something new for my life, because throughout training, we had to run laps around the baseball field, and we practiced at my small Christian school, like JV practice with varsity, so like high schoolers, and we had to run 10 laps around the baseball field, and it was so natural and easy for me that I would just start lapping people, and I was like, this is great and easy, and everyone was complaining.
You're passing the high schoolers.
Yeah, and then I caught up to, the coach was like, if Luke laps anyone, they have to do extra laps. So when I am about to lap the seniors, they're like, you better not pass me. Like, you have to stay with us because we're not going to get punished. Like, don't pass us.
Gosh.
So I just like jogged with the seniors the rest of the laps, and so I went on to, you know, when you actually got into baseball drills, I didn't do well. And that's why I got cut, didn't make the team. However, once I got through the level of, like, devastation of, like, well, I'm not
and
doing
it is,
baseball.
That's real. Like,
yeah, I mean, at the time, it was my, like I said, what I loved the most. I was obsessed with it. Mm. Like, had all the baseball cards, was, like, a nerd with the Braves. And it was my thing. And I found my identity in it. And, you know, the Lord definitely took that away, or maybe my skills took it away, as then I didn't make the team. And
a little
then,
combo.
Yeah, a little combo. And once I got over that, I was like, well, I want to do something new and different, and running was easy for me or natural, and I want to give that a shot. And then, in that I found, like, a new love. And before, though, it took some while to get there, like, to get to running, and then I became to love it, was, like, naturally gifted at it, talented, and it afforded me so many opportunities. Particularly a community, like, it put me in a new community of friends that really changed my life. It paved my path to go to University of Georgia.
Got to run there. Varsity runner, right?
Yeah. So I ended up winning 3 state championships in high school, and then going to UGA to run there, and had a great career. But that wouldn't have happened, I don't think, if I didn't, like, first have my first dream, like, crushed and buried.
Wow.
And have, like, a new life of running found. And even now, like, at 31 years old, running had to have another death after my college career, when I was like, oh, competing's done. And I took years off because I was like, this is dead and it's done. And it wasn't until this, you know, past year where a new life and, like, a new way of running came to be, where it's at this point, like, most helpful for my mental, emotional, and spiritual life, of, like, it's my best prayer time, best time to have deep conversations with friends who run as well. So, my biggest, like, hobby and passion was found from, like, my, you know, the death of something else, the death of my baseball dream.
I think having to have those things happen and pivot happens a lot throughout middle and high school, like, whether it be a crush of a dream from sports, or if it's, like, this college I really wanted to go to, like, that's not happening anymore. What would you want to say either to old Luke or, like, to somebody in that position now? It's like, hey, like, your dreams are pivoting. What does that mean for them? Like, what would you what advice would you give?
Yeah, I would say that I also remember when I was young, I always thought that my life would be like from point A to point B up and to the right of like a direct straight path.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had someone, like an older, wiser woman, tell me that like your life will look more like this. And she got a marker and on a whiteboard and drew like all these squigglies that went in a crazy and like a crazy path. And I was like, she's crazy. That like my life is perfect. It's going up and to the right.
You're like, I'm rejecting
and,
that.
Yeah. And the older I get, the more I realize that, yes, like you said, Haley, a lot like you will have like tiny dreams or big dreams that die. And, you know, your life doesn't go according to plan. And I would just say that, like, that's the greatest opportunity or, like, margin of life where you see God's faithfulness and provision the most. Mm-hmm. And actually is where we grow the most because it's funny, I think, what make the best stories, whether you, like, love movies or love music or books, up and to the right stories are so boring and they don't make good stories.
Yeah.
But, like, in the tension is what actually makes a beautiful story, but yet we want to avoid that in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
But yet, that's where like all the growth and excitement happens. So, and that's where God feels so near. So I would just, if you're experiencing the death of any tiny dream or big dream or things aren't going your way or according to plan, just know that like that's the space that God loves being near and seeking you out. And, you know, that's the what makes life exciting and fun.
Yeah. So. Stay open and afraid both at one time.
Yeah.
It's so good because that is so challenging, but it's in that soil, the soil of sometimes where a dream dies or something is crushed, that that's the necessary, the material to help something grow. That's the fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nobody wants to seek that out.
Yeah.
But for us to be open to it. And this can happen in so many ways, y'all. As you're listening to this, Luke shared one that I remember getting cut from a team as well. Many of us have. But losing a friendship, having hopes and dreams you have just not go the way that you expected can happen all the time. So whatever you're experiencing right now, we just encourage you to remember this vision of the seed. I want to challenge everybody, just as Luke said, to remember, like, this might be something that is an opportunity for you, but there is this necessary period, just like Lent is this period getting ready for Easter, that we might go through a challenging time. So I'd challenge you, if you are feeling that right now, like, I feel like the seed, go outside. Find a tree, look at it, look how big that tree is, and remember that tree started as a tiny little thing that was buried underground for a time, and it had to go through that time and pray. Give that back to the Lord. Be honest with God. God can take it. So that's my challenge to you. Luke, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah.
You have any final words for us?
No, I don't. Other than I hope you have more tea drinkers on the podcast. This was great.
Tea on the pod. We got some Earl Grey here.
Oh, is that why you didn't have coffee?
No. Tea guy.
He's a tea guy.
Tea guy. I heard you say that, but I didn't know it was exclusive.
Tea guy at the coffee shop, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
But
tea belongs too.
Thank y'all for having me. This was fun.
Tea belongs
too. Well, I think we just normally drink coffee, but it's not just for a post.
So great.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, Luke, thanks so much for coming on with us. It's been an absolute delight. Trinity Youth and all of our listeners, thank you for joining. We love you. And as always,
peace be with you.
That's good. You caught on. We didn't even tell you.
Not every guest gets it.